Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend. Welcome to Focus on Community. Again, I'm Frank Roche. It's nice to have you along as we cover a lot of the issues that concern you and everybody else here in the Wabash Valley. Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute joins us today. Tammy, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be with you.
Of course, your big focus with IYI, Indiana Youth Institute, is kids and all things concerning them, education, their well-being, both mentally, physically, all that kind of stuff. And your big thing is numbers. As we've talked before off air, you're all about numbers, all about data crunching and all that kind of stuff. So you've got a new report that's out that pretty much takes a year to complete, and you do this annually. And it's what, the Kids Count Data Book?
It is. It's our 26th edition. So hopefully, you know, we know a lot of folks look forward to it. Hopefully by year 26, you know, it's a good, solid resource. And what our goal is to provide the most up-to-date data and make it easy for people to use and understand, right? It's, as we've talked about, it's not a thrilling read from cover to cover. It's more a resource guide.
Yeah. Is this something that's done across the country and this is just the Indiana version, or is this something that's kind of unique to us here?
You are 100% right with option one. So we are the Indiana affiliate for the Kids Count Network. So all the other states do a similar. Now, I would kind of give us a little shout out that there are certain components that we all do. And then we try to go a little above and beyond and go a little deeper. And we do that by working a lot with our state agency partners. So Department of Ed, Department of Children's Services, Workforce Development, Corrections, all those kinds of folks. But at a baseline, every state does a similar product.
For those who may have gripes with state agencies and that kind of stuff, they're going to turn around and say, oh, so you're just basically rehashing the goop that the state pushes out. But that's really not the case, right?
No. We validate everything, right? So we're going to look at, is this the most current? Is this, and I'm not going to go into any details here, but there have been times over the years where somebody has said, hey, do you all really need to publish X, Y, or Z? And the reality is we're here to be that impartial. Here's the information and data. We're not here to explain it from a particular lens or not. We want the communities to have that information and to have those conversations, which is why we do the statewide version, but we also have a snapshot for each and every one of the 92 counties. Because, again, we want to make sure people have access to the information.
So you work with the state but not for the state.
That's perfect. I like that. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yep,
which is going to give you a lot of credit in a lot of people's eyes because they may not necessarily be all that fond of, you know, government and that kind of thing. You know how that goes.
Oh, yes. We hear that routinely. So, and yet I would say a lot of the folks that we work with really do want good, accurate data to be published and to be accessible because, you know, again, the numbers are the numbers. And in fact, I was just talking with the head of Children's Services yesterday, and obviously some of their data points are tough right now and they have a lot of work ahead of them, but yet they know that. And, you know, they're not trying to cover up those numbers as much as try to figure out what do we do about it. And that's really our goal, too.
So you can, with the Kids Count Data Book, you can actually take a look at the entire state as a whole. And then, like you said, you can break it down. 92 counties is a lot of breaking down to do. This is statewide, though. How are we doing as a whole on the state?
So we are 29th. We ranked 29th nationally overall for child well-being, which is what we ranked last year. The year before, we were 28th. So I guess my question to you is, if you were in a competition and you were 28th or 29th out of 50, what would be your takeaway with that?
I'd say, okay, but why aren't we moving ahead? Why are we not making any progress? Why are we just treading water?
Exactly. And I think that's kind of our message is some of the data is tough, right? And some of the numbers can be a little discouraging, but yet we say, you know, I grew up in Indiana, all, you know, day one, born and raised here, and we know that Indiana can be a fantastic place to be a kid. And yet we know it's not quite that way in every single county and in every single community and household. And so that's what we're striving for. We're not trying to send people to Mars, right? We're trying to make sure kids are healthy, well-educated, and supported.
And you also find a pretty wide range of socioeconomic levels around the state. I mean, you have, everybody knows, okay, the so-called rich part of the state is the donut around Indianapolis, it seems like, where the economy is just booming. But there's also poor parts of the state out here in the farm fields and stuff that obviously aren't quite as wealthy. But you have everything in Indiana, from the very poor to the very rich.
We absolutely do. We have all different socioeconomic. We are, particularly our kids, actually racially are more diverse than the adult population. So we know that there's more diversity in the pipeline for us. We know that, you know, what kids are aspiring to do post-secondary varies a lot throughout the state. And our goal really is to make sure each and every kid reaches their full potential, whatever that may be. If that's going to college, that's great. If that's getting a credential, that also is something we want to encourage and support.
Now, see, that diversity you wouldn't necessarily think of, because I think a lot of people have the impression that being here in the Midwest and Indiana, we're basically middle class, white, and that's pretty run of the mill. We're certainly not as diverse as some of the coastal areas, but I guess maybe we are in a way.
We are, and we're growing more diverse, and we're also diverse in our household structure. So there's a growing number of kids, and I know we've talked about this off air, that's not surprising, that are being raised by grandparents, right? Or step parents. And we know that there's diversity in that family structure. We know that right now almost 8% of our kids are being raised by their grandparents. And that's something that's a little bit different than what it's been. They might have been in the same house, but that wasn't their primary caregiver in the past, and now it is.
So when you take a look at the Kids Count data book, like we said, you break it down into 92 individual counties. Obviously, here in our area, Vigo, Clay, Sullivan, Park, Vermilion, that's kind of the Wabash Valley right here in our area. Is there a lot of difference between the counties here, or are all the counties, are we all kind of the same, just maybe slightly different in population size county to county?
Well, and I would say that's kind of where the data geek in me comes out, because I'm actually looking at all five of those snapshots right now, right? Yeah. And trying to look at where are some of those similarities, where are some of those differences, and what should the takeaway be? I would say, you know, across all of those counties, the number of kids who are food insecure has gone down. So that's great. That's something that, and yet in a couple of them, you're still higher than the state average. You know, I think those are the takeaways that I encourage people to use this data for, is, again, figure out what's important to you, what's important to, whether it's your school or your church or your Lions Club or whatever that is. What kid issue is really, or kid issues are really important, and then start making those comparisons to draw those conclusions. It's the analysis part that can really make a difference.
And of course, anybody can go online and read the Kids Count data book. Yes. It's on your website, right?
It is IYI.org, as well as the 92 snapshots. There's a drop down that alphabetically lists all of our counties. So you just click on and it's all there for anyone who's interested.
And you don't necessarily have to have a doctorate in accounting in order to figure out what these numbers mean, or to figure it out, period. I'm reading a couple of the snapshots and I kind of get it.
And that's the intent. So thank you. We like that. The other thing that the data book itself is really intended to do is those folks who are working with kids or trying to raise money, that it's really intended for you to make that case, right, for whatever that kid issue is. So a lot of our data book has a lot of, you can copy and paste it. You can copy and paste it into your grant report, right? We don't, don't change the citations, I would caution, but it's there for people to use. It's there for you to help understand kids. It's there for you to talk to your school board about, or your city council. Again, it's for everyone. It's for our whole state to use.
We can take a look at I'll bring us to Vigo and Clay counties, probably, and I'm not leaving Sullivan and the rest of them out simply because I just don't care about them, because I do, but Vigo and Clay are probably the two most populous counties out of the ones here in this little segment of the state. And when you take a look at economic well-being, we are getting better, specifically in Vigo County. We've gotten better over the past couple of years. Clay County, on the other hand, has gotten, a little bit worse? when you look at it, and again, economic well-being is what I'm looking at. 2015 to 18 is where some of the numbers are at there.
Exactly. So again, if you're absolutely right. If you're, you know, if you're looking at median household income, which we know is really important for kids, right? Kids cost money to raise and to feed and get medical care and treatment and all those kinds of things. And so, you know, you're right. The household income has gone up in both of those communities, which is a great indicator. And yet it's still lower than the state average.
And children in poverty has gotten a little bit better in Vigo, but in Clay County, there's more kids in poverty.
That's exactly what we're looking for. It's where the confounding factor. So in that community, if the household income's gone up and yet the number of kids living in poverty has also gone up, what is that telling us, right? Like why aren't those kids reaping those financial benefits that is on average in those communities? That's a really intriguing question. I think that would be a great question to talk to community leaders about, right? And say, let's try to dig into what this is about.
Well, next life, I'll do a study on that. And
Well, and even have a conversation, right? Again, I think, you know, the numbers are only as good as what we do with them, right? And the conversations, and maybe there is some great reason for that, but maybe there's not. And maybe we need to try to figure out why these kids aren't getting the financial resources they need, you know, to propel them forward.
And I can already hear some folks saying on the other side of the radio right now, this observation, whether it's right or wrong, this is what they're going to speculate at. And I guess I can see they're going to say that it's when you take a look at the income, yeah, the income's going up in both areas, but maybe the income is becoming more concentrated in a smaller number of people.
Yep.
So there's more people making more or there's fewer people making more money and more people making less money, which leads to that kind of weird numbers thing.
Well, and if you dig in, we have a little more than just in the snapshots in the data book about working poor families. And there's a lot of families in Indiana that have kids that are working a couple of jobs, right? And so it's not that they're not putting in the time or the effort. It's that those jobs are not getting that financial reward into that home. And so you're absolutely right that we are seeing a concentration at one end, right? And some of the other families, despite the fact that they're working, despite the fact that we have jobs available and relatively low unemployment, although I know a couple of your county's listeners are higher than what the state average is.
Yeah, Vermilion County is highest in the state. So
it is. Yeah. It is. It's state average is 3.5%, and they're at 5.5% right now.
One other thing here before we run too much out of time. I mean, everybody can go online, IYI.org, and look for the Kids Count data book. But health in the kids, that's kind of an interesting, too, because I was looking at the Vigo and Clay numbers. It looks like maybe we're making some progress when it comes
to
health care.
You know, one of the things that I thought was really encouraging in both of those communities is the number of mothers who received first trimester prenatal care. And it went up significantly in both of those communities, which is great, right? Teen birth rates, you know, interestingly went up in both of those communities, which
that's kind of going against the grain a little bit because that's
correct.
Been going down, yeah.
Correct. And to talk, you know, we might need to have some conversations. I know one of your stories was about sex ed, so there could be some correlation there. Right?
Yeah, we've got one school system. They've got some folks that are saying that maybe the sex ed class isn't really doing its job, and
so look at our teen data rates, right? Teen birth rates on the data book. Somebody might want to take this information to that next conversation. You know, but also looking at, you know, what are some of those low birth weight babies? What are some of the mental health providers? Again, are there enough mental health providers in any of these communities? No. But was positive progress made in the last 3 years? Absolutely.
Kids Count data book. It's on the Indiana Youth Institute website. And just to clear up a few things, you guys are not-for-profit. You are not funded.
Correct.
I mean, you're not an estate agency or anything like that.
No. We're wholly neutral and just our own standalone. We were created so that we could have these really, you know, hopefully unbiased, straightforward conversations and share this information throughout the state.
And being non-for-profit, it's not like you come on these shows to campaign for dollars, but you are funded by foundations and other areas to keep it going.
You bet. We do have a lot of great friends that provide us funding. And yet, as you said, as a not-for-profit, it is something that's our responsibility. We always have to, you know, kind of earn our own way forward and make sure that those funders value what we're doing.
If folks are interested in these numbers, again, they can read them on your website. But you guys also do a lot of other projects throughout the year, and sometimes you even do presentations in different parts of the state.
I mean, we sure do.
You're in the Indy area, which is where a lot of places are, but you also go around the state for other events.
We do, and I would say we even have somebody that's located in your area of the state that lives there, and that position is actually open right now. We've had some great candidates. We're doing interviews, but if somebody's interested in representing your area for IYI and working on kids' issues, hop on our website and you can find that job posting, because our headquarters are in Indy, but we actually have staff members embedded throughout the state.
And like I said, you do presentations and that kind of thing at different parts of the state all year long, where you tell folks, you know, give them ideas on how they can address kids' issues.
Absolutely. We have webinars that are all free. They're also recorded, right? So we do local events. We do free online events if that works better with your schedule. But again, it's all here just to help anybody that cares about and works with kids.
IYI.org. The website's real clean and easy to look at, and kind of fun to navigate with. And you can find all kinds of info on there. And you're encouraged to drop by and check it out. Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute. The Kids Count Data Book is out now, and you can find that on their website. Tammy, we thank you for being with us today. And we also thank you for listening to Focus on Community. If you'd like to get a rehash of everything we talked about, or you missed something, be sure to drop by our website and look for this entire program as a podcast. And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.